Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, October 27th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
shares of Microsoft rally on earnings.
Democrats unveil a proposed minimum tax for corporations.
Tensions flare again between the U.S. and China.
And the FDA moves another step closer to approving COVID vaccines for kids.
A menacing nor'easter lingers into this morning's commute for the tri-state, and the candidates running to be New York City's next mayor battle it out in their final debate. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Atlanta Braves won Game 1 of the World Series in Houston, and the Knicks ended a long losing streak against Philadelphia.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And U.S. futures are lower this morning. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 25, NASDAQ futures down about the same, and the 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.59%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.48%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, let's begin with market reaction to the latest earnings. Shares of Microsoft are up more than 2% in early trading. The company's cloud business helped drive robust sales and profit. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
They topped analyst estimates for an 11th straight quarter. Revenue in the first quarter ending September 30th climbed 22%. CEO Satya Nadella has extended the company's success in cloud computing by lining up a steady stream of deals for Azure software. Internet-based office programs also keep growing as Microsoft convinces customers to pay up for high-end versions and expanded contracts. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. On the flip side to the earnings picture this morning, shares of Alphabet are down about 0.25%. Google posted strong numbers for the third quarter, but other business units came up short. Ed Ludlow has details from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Google search business is thriving in a robust advertising environment, but ad revenue from YouTube and Google's cloud sales both fell short. The cloud unit is seeing growth, but is lagging behind the likes of AWS and Microsoft, while YouTube saw, quote, modest impacts from Apple's iOS privacy changes. And ahead of the holiday quarter, there's supply chain constraints for the Pixel 6 smartphone, which is experiencing strong demand. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Outside of earnings, we're watching growing tensions between the U.S. and China this morning. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. One of three leading communications providers in China is losing privileges to operate in the U.S. The FCC voted unanimously to stop China Telecom from doing business in the country, citing national security concerns. And it follows similar moves from the White House targeting other Chinese tech companies like Huawei. This shows that broad concerns about Beijing persist in Washington, no matter who's leading the country, even as the Biden administration moves to improve communication with China. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. General Mark Milley is also weighing in on U.S.-China relations. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff says Beijing is a growing threat to U.S. security. General Milley spoke to David Rubenstein on the latest edition of Peer-to-Peer Conversations.
There's no question in my mind that the biggest geostrategic challenge to the United States is going to be China. That I have no doubt at all. Russia is important, not unimportant at all. Russia has very significant military capabilities. North Korea, Iran are still there. Terrorists are going to be around for quite a while. But I think China is clearly the most significant geostrategic threat we face.
Stay tuned for more of that conversation with General Mark Milley coming up 10 minutes from now, and catch the entire interview on Peer-to-Peer Conversations with David Rubenstein tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Television.
Well, meantime, in Washington, Karen, Democrats continue to search for consensus on how to pay for President Biden's economic plan. Now they're eyeing a new corporate minimum tax. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The proposal requires companies that report more than $1 billion in profits to shareholders pay at least least a 15% tax rate, even if they do qualify for lots of breaks. Democrats are planning to use this as an alternative to raising the regular corporate income tax. That rate would stay at 21%. A summary of the plan says this minimum tax would apply to about 200 companies and would raise up to $400 billion over 10 years. Senator Kyrsten Sinema, who opposed raising the corporate income tax, called this a common-sense proposal. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Democrats are also planning a so-called billionaire's tax. It would hit the unrealized capital gains of the ultra-wealthy and has emerged as an alternative to hiking income tax rates on top earners. Billionaires Larry Fink and Ray Dalio are weighing in on the idea. The heads of BlackRock and Bridgewater Associates are open to paying more, but only if the money's put to good use.
If we could find solutions where the money can be directed in a proper way, you know, I have more to give.
If it raises productivity and creates equal opportunity, that we can't just talk about the raising of money, we have to talk about the usage of money. So that's part of that picture. But yes, if it accomplishes those things, I would support it. Not sure that it does.
Larry Frank and Ray Dalio spoke at Saudi Arabia's flagship investment conference in Riyadh.
Well, it's a busy week for the White House, Karen, as President Biden also weighs filling open seats on the Federal Reserve. He's zeroing in on whether to renominate Jay Powell for another term as chairman. Sources tell us the president has started meeting with top White House and Treasury aides about that top job and other vacancies at the central bank.
And it is 6:06 on Wall Street. This update is brought to you by InnovaLawn, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. InnovaLawn data has a story to tell, and InnovaLawn gives it a voice. Futures this morning moving lower. S&P futures down 4 points. Dow futures down 18. NASDAQ futures down 14. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.59%. And the yield on the two-year is at 0.49%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.33% on $1.13 at $83.52 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $4.90 at $1,788.50 an ounce. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:07 on Wall Street, rain and 56 degrees in Central Park. We got an accident on the southbound West Tide Highway at the George Washington Bridge. John Tucker is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, John.
Nathan, the menacing nor'easter lingering into this morning's commute for the tri-state, and Bloomberg meteorologist Gary Best has the update this morning. Gary, what are the rainfall totals so far? When does it all end?
Well, the storm right now, John, is located just southeast of Cape Cod and moving off towards the east eventually here through this afternoon. So with the weather system moving away, we'll gradually have some improving conditions over the next day or so. As far as rainfall totals are concerned, we've got basically 2 to 4 inches of rain across much of the region. Kings County reported gusts of 47 to 50, and Suffolk County reported gusts of 45 to 55. Again, the strongest winds will be diminishing through today, and then nicer weather for tomorrow.
Gary Best in the Weather Center this morning. Last night, the candidates running to be New York City's next mayor battled it out in their final debate before next week's election. The moderators struggled to keep things on track between Democrat Eric Adams and Curtis Sliwa, founder of the Guardians Angels.
You're interrupting. You're being disrespectful. Show a level of discipline.
Show compassion. Show care. Don't just be a robot.
Adams, the Brooklyn Borough president, widely expected to win the election. Days before the final votes are cast in an election likely to make him Manhattan's first black district attorney, Alvin Bragg is showing just how different a prosecutor he might be. Instead of stumping for votes, the Democrat spending the last days of his campaign questioning New York City police officials in a rare judicial inquiry into the 2014 police chokehold death of Eric Garner. The Santa Fe County District Attorney says she's not ruling out criminal charges in last week's fatal shooting on a film set in New Mexico. The actor Alec Baldwin was rehearsing with a gun that he had been told did not contain live ammunition when it went off, killing the film's cinematographer and wounding the film's director. And the U.S. government scheduled to ask Britain's high court to overturn a judge's decision that WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange
should not be sent to the U.S. to face espionage charges. A lower court judge refused extradition in January on health grounds, saying Assange was likely to kill himself if he was held under harsh U.S. prison conditions. Two judges will hear the appeal today and tomorrow. Global News 24 hours a day on air. And on Bloomberg Quick Take, we're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John. Thank you. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. How long has it been since the Knicks have been able to defeat Philadelphia? The last time it happened was 2017. Carmelo Anthony was still a Knick. And he's played for four different teams since then. 15 losses in a row. The streak finally came to an end at the Garden. The Knicks won the second quarter 39-16. They won the game 112-99, led by their new backcourt of Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier, 19 and 18 points. They together made nine threes. Calgary Flames enjoying the area. A win over the Rangers, followed by a 5-3 win last night at the Devils. Hard to top the way the Atlanta Braves got going in Houston. Jorge Soler leading off. This was the third pitch, the Braves' first swing.
Balls are no strikes on Jorge, and the pitch on the way. Hit well, deep left, that's going back, that ball is gone! 1-0 Braves, and Jorge feels like busting loose. And that's how you start a World Series.
Braves radio, Atlanta scored again in the first inning, another run in the second, and Adam Duvall, two-run homer in the third, and they won the series opener from the Astros 6-2, despite their starting pitcher, Charlie Morton, having to leave in the third inning. He got hit in the leg with a line drive in the second, stayed in the game, got three outs before x-rays revealed Morton's got a broken leg. What's become an annual event, Jets ownership giving a vote of confidence to the coach and general manager, Woody Johnson, who is back owning the Jets after a stint as ambassador of the United Kingdom, said he has unwavering confidence in Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh. The Jets, 1-5, host much-improved Cincinnati on Sunday. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
We'll see how it goes. Thank you, John. S&P futures right now down 3 points. Dow futures down 10. NASDAQ futures down 12. 10-year Treasury yield 1.59%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.49. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks in Europe are retreating from a near record. U.S. stock index futures are also, well, little change to lower again. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down 2 points, Dow futures down 5, NASDAQ futures down 10. The DAX in Germany is down 0.25%, and the 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.59%, yield on the 2-year 0.49%. And we're coming up to 6:18 on Wall Street. Time for your daily Bloomberg crypto update, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Now with the latest in crypto news, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Karen, right now Bitcoin is trading at just under 59,000, and it's falling for the second straight day as traders liquidate the most positions in a month. And this comes as ETF enthusiasts fades. Robinhood reports earnings and revenue from its crypto trading plunged 78% from the second quarter. It was a test of Robinhood's potential as retail investors cooled off from a sizzling first half that was fueled by January's meme stock rally and a rally in Dogecoin. FBB Capital Partners analyst Mike Bailey says if this is an indication of what's to come in terms of volatility, he'd expect sentiment and the crypto valuation multiple to drop. And in Bitcoin-related ETF news, the market may hit another milestone with an offering that shorts crypto futures. The Direction Bitcoin Strategy Bear ETF would offer short exposure to CME Bitcoin futures contracts. This comes after the successful launch of the ProShares and Volcari ETFs, which are both backed by futures. With your Bloomberg Crypto Report, I'm Renita Young. Karen?
right, Renita, thank you. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. U.S. health advisors have endorsed kid-sized doses of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. It moves the nation closer to vaccinating children ages 5 to 11. President Biden's big domestic policy bill, now half its original size, and it's being reconfigured as Democrats edge closer to satisfying their most reluctant lawmakers. And China condemning the U.S.'s latest overture toward Taiwan, warning that ties between the two countries face huge risks. Bloomberg Sports, Braves take Game 1 of the World Series 6-2 of the Astros. Basketball, the Knicks and Golden State win. On the ice, the Devils and Sharks both lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. It's 6:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager. Let's turn to a conversation now with General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. General Milley is the nation's highest-ranking military officer, the principal military advisor to the president. Before rising to the post, General Milley served as chief of staff of the Army, along with other staff and command positions, including deputy commanding general of U.S. forces in Afghanistan. He is also a Massachusetts native and graduate of Princeton and Columbia Universities. General Mark Milley sat down for a wide-ranging interview with David Rubenstein on his show Peer-to-Peer Conversations. David's first question, what is the single biggest threat facing America right now? Let's hear what General Milley had to say.
I think it's China, and I've said that publicly many times. I think as we look to the future, and I think we are living in a historical epoch, actually, where we're seeing the rise of a country that is unlike something we've seen probably ever before. And it's one of the great historical pivot points, I think, that we've ever witnessed, which is the rise of China. And from the reforms of 1979 and Deng Xiaoping up till today, which is, I guess that's what, 41, 42 years or so, four decades, they've had an incredible economic run. And with that, they've developed a military that's really significant. As we go forward over the next 10, 20, 25 years, there's no question in my mind that the biggest geostrategic challenge to the United States is going to be China. That I have no doubt at all. Russia is important, not unimportant at all. Russia has very significant military capabilities. North Korea, Iran are still there. Terrorists are going to be around for quite a while. But I think China is clearly the most significant geostrategic threat we face.
As we talk today, there have recently been some reports that the Chinese have a hypersonic missile that can theoretically go into space and then come down with a nuclear bomb, escaping our ability to knock it down. Is that something I should be worried about, or all Americans should be worried about?
Well, what you saw, and I don't want to get too much into the classification of what we saw, but what we saw was a very significant event of a test of a hypersonic weapon system, and it is very concerning. I think I saw in some of the newspapers they used the term Sputnik moment. I don't know if it's quite a Sputnik moment, but I think it's very close to that. So it's a very significant technological event that occurred, or test that occurred by the Chinese, and it has all of our attention, and we're paying it. But that's just one weapon system. The Chinese military capabilities are much greater than that. They're expanding rapidly in space, in cyber, and then in the traditional domains of land, sea, and air. And they have gone from a peasant-based infantry army that was very, very large in 1979 to a very capable military that covers all the domains and has global ambitions. So China is very significant on our horizon.
But can I presume that the United States has thought of doing a hypersonic missile as well, and that we are not caught completely flat-footed in our ability to maybe produce something like that ourselves?
We are clearly experimenting and testing and developing technologies to include hypersonics, artificial intelligence, robotics, and a whole wide range. Now, if you take a step back, what we're in history-wise, is we're in one of the most significant changes in what I call the character of war. But today, with the introduction of precision munitions, the ability to see all over the world, artificial intelligence, robotics, hypersonics, all of these things together, this is an enormous change in the character of war, and we're going to have to adjust our military going forward.
And that's General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, speaking with David Rubenstein. You can catch more of their conversation with the nation's highest-ranking military officer on the latest edition of Peer-to-Peer Conversations with David Rubenstein. It's at 9 p.m. Eastern tonight on Bloomberg Television. Looking ahead to the market open on this Wednesday morning, little change in the futures contracts. S&P futures down 2 points, so are Dow futures. NASDAQ futures lower by 14. The 10-year Treasury is up 3/32. The yield 1.59%. Yield on the 2-year right now, 0.49%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Experience the e-tron family of fully electric vehicles at your tri-state Audi dealer today, delivering the performance you expect from Audi with an eye toward a more sustainable future.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. And U.S. futures are little changed this morning following yesterday's record close and a slew of earnings after the bell. We start with Microsoft. Shares up more than 2% at an all-time high after results topped estimates for an 11th straight quarter. The company's cloud business, Azure, continues to impress, according to Dan Newman at Futurum Research.
Demand for Azure continues to be really strong. Each and every quarter, I continue to look for this number to fall below 50%. And it's been similar with AWS and looking for that number to fall below 30%. But it continues to meet that 50% growth number.
Dan Newman at Futurum Research says he was also impressed with Microsoft's performance in its productivity and devices businesses.
Well, shares of Alphabet, meantime, are down about 0.25%. The parent company of Google posted sales that topped estimates, but results from its YouTube and cloud computing divisions fell short.
Well, outside of earnings, Nathan, we're watching growing tension between the U.S. and China this morning. We get the latest on that live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. One of three leading communications providers in China is losing privileges to operate in the U.S. The FCC voted unanimously to stop China Telecom from doing business in the country, citing national security concerns. This shows that broad concerns about Beijing still persist in Washington, no matter who's leading the country, even as the Biden administration moves to improve communication with China. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. So meantime in Washington, Democrats are still looking for ways to pay for President Biden's economic agenda. Now, three key senators on the Finance Committee are out with a new 15% tax proposal on corporate profits. It's an alternative to raising the corporate tax rate. That's opposed by Democrat Kyrsten Sinema. We spoke with Washington State Democratic Congresswoman Susan DelBene about negotiations.
We've had a lot of discussions. I think we're at the point where people need to decide so we can get this done and get resources to the American people, get programs that will help us build back better.
Congresswoman Susan DelBene spoke with our Washington correspondent, Joe Matthew, on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
And futures this morning are little changed, Nathan. S&P futures are down a point. Dow futures up 6. NASDAQ futures down 13. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32. Yield 1.59%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.49%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 1.2% on 99 cents at $83.66 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
And it's now 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by the New York Community Trust. Your name will live on as a champion of the causes you care about for years to come through a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust. Learn more at give2.nyc. John Tucker is here with what's going on in New York and around the world. John?
And Nathan, U.S. health advisors have endorsed kid-sized doses of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for young children. They say the benefits exceed the risks. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It puts the shot for the youngest school-aged children on track for a likely clearance. The FDA's Vaccines Advisory Committee voted 17-0 with one abstention to back the immunization, which is intended for children from 5 to 11 years old and is one-third the dose currently given to people age 12 and older. Making a vaccine available to children in elementary school would mark a major milestone in the pandemic. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Law enforcement authorities are scheduled to discuss initial findings about a fatal movie set shooting with a prop gun discharged by actor Alec Baldwin that left a cinematographer dead and a film director wounded. The news conference in New Mexico by the Santa Fe County Sheriff and the DA this morning may shed new light on a deadly sequence of events that has baffled film set safety experts. Netflix is eyeing an old army base in New Jersey. That story in this report from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
According to the Times, Netflix wants to turn the old Fort Monmouth in Eatontown and Oceanport into one of the largest movie and television production hubs in the Northeast. The 96-year-old base was closed by the Pentagon in 2011 as the military cut spending. Bids for the site are due January 12th, and Netflix would not discuss the price it planned to offer. Netflix said in a statement that it would transform Fort Monmouth into a state-of-the-art production facility. Their bid enjoys the enthusiastic support of Governor Phil Murphy. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. John Stashower, what you got?
All right, Nathan. Quite a start to the World Series. The Atlanta Braves. Jorge Soler, who missed the NLCS due to COVID, leading off against Houston's Framber Valdez, hit the third pitch of the Fall Classic. His first swing out for a home run. Braves scored again first inning. Got another run in the second. Adam Duvall, two-run home in the third. First team in World Series history to score in each of the first three innings of the series opener. Braves beat the Astros 6-2. Atlanta's won 8 of the last 10 this postseason. Game 2 in Houston is tonight. Before the game, Commissioner Rob Manfred met the media, talked about his desire to reach a new CBA, his understandable concern over the length of these games, and Manfred also said he does not expect fans in Atlanta to stop doing the chop unless there's pushback from the Native American community. Knicks and Sixers at the Garden.
Walker, right wing, three-pointer. It's good! Kemba Walker trains another Knicks three. Their 13th, a 75-51 lead, the largest for the Knickerbockers tonight.
WEPN, the call. Philadelphia did cut into that 24-point Knicks lead, but the Knicks won 112-99. Kemba Walker, 19 points. Evan Fournier, 18. 9 threes between the new starting backcourt. And the Knicks end a 15-game losing streak versus Philly. It's their first win over the Sixers since 2017. In Newark, Calgary beat the Devils 5-3. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, rare presser after owners' meetings in New York. Goodell said they're still gathering info on Texans QB Deshaun Watson accused of sexual misconduct, and they will not release emails from their investigation into the Washington football team. That's to protect the anonymity of those that cooperate. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, we'll get right to those big tech, big earnings.
Absolutely. And Microsoft's up 2% in early trading after putting out its fiscal first quarter results late yesterday. The software maker's sales and earnings beat analyst average estimates in a Bloomberg survey. Demand for cloud-based programs fueled the growth. Alphabet wasn't so fortunate, though. Google's owner down 1% after disappointing third quarter revenue in cloud computing and also from the video site YouTube, even though total sales beat estimates. And we should mention Twitter as well. Also out late yesterday, up 1.5%. The social media company's third quarter revenue and fourth quarter sales forecasts were pretty much in line with estimates.
Yeah, we should also mention some of the other big tech names that reported. We had a lot of them yesterday, Dave.
Oh, we did, especially in semiconductors. You've got Texas Instruments down 4%. The chip maker's fourth quarter sales forecast came up short of estimates. The outlook indicated a surge in chip demand is beginning to slow. Advanced Micro Devices results, though, told a bit of a different story. AMD up 0.75%. The chipmaker's revenue forecast for the fourth quarter was higher than projections. AMD raised its forecast for full-year sales growth to 65%. And Xilinx is up 2%. AMD said a $35 billion takeover of the chipmaker is on track to close by year-end. And while we're at it, let's note Teradyne, maker of chip testing equipment, up 4%. Teradyne posted third quarter earnings and sales that beat projections. Now we turn to finance. Visa's down 2.5%. The payment network gave a revenue forecast for the current fiscal year that trailed estimates. Visa cited a slow recovery in cross-border transactions, which carry higher fees. And rival MasterCard is down 1.5% before its results, which are due out tomorrow. Thermo Fisher Scientific up 1.5%. The lab equipment maker's earnings and sales for the third quarter topped the average estimates. Enphase Energy, this is a solar equipment maker, up 13.5%. Company's third quarter sales and fourth quarter revenue forecast beat projections, and we're seeing Enphase's peers rise as well. I mean, you got SolarEdge Technologies and SunPower both up 4.5%, and First Solar up 3.5%. But then there's Robinhood Markets, down 11%. The trading app's third quarter revenue trailed estimates as cryptocurrency buying and selling plunged 78% from the second quarter. Robinhood dropped below the price of its initial public offering in July. And while we're talking crypto, let's note that related stocks are lower after the digital currency dropped back below $60,000. The exchange owner Coinbase Global down 4.5%. The Bitcoin investor MicroStrategy off 1.5%. Marathon Digital down 6%. And we should note, Visa in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. We have three more Dow companies due to report before the opening bell. The plane maker Boeing, the soft drink maker Coca-Cola, and the restaurant owner McDonald's. And while we're at it, results are also scheduled from drug maker Bristol-Myers Squibb, food maker Kraft Heinz, Railroad Norfolk Southern, and the automaker General Motors. And by the way, Ford Motors results are due after the close.
Is that all?
That's
Bloomberg
enough.
Stocks Editor Dave Wilson. Very busy times with the meat of earnings underway. As we take a look at stocks as a whole, not much movement at the index level. S&P futures down a point, Dow futures up 3, NASDAQ futures down 9 points. This is Bloomberg. Almost 6:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning are moving lower. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Modest losses in the futures right now. Dow futures down 15 points. S&P's dropped 4. NASDAQ futures are lower by 20. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.59%. Gold is down 19. Shanghai fell 1% overnight. While European markets are also trading in the red this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, wholesale inventories and durable goods orders. After the bell last night, AMD gave another bullish forecast. Google revenue beat estimates, Microsoft beat, and Robinhood revenue missed estimates. Regarding some of the earnings this morning, look for Boeing and Coca-Cola to report in the pre-market. And wrapping things up, AMD was raised to market perform at BMO. Ecolab cut to underweight over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Karen, President Biden's big domestic policy bill is now half its original size. It's being reduced and reconfigured as Democrats edge closer to satisfying their most reluctant lawmakers. China condemning the U.S.'s latest overture toward Taiwan, warning that ties between the two countries face huge risks. Now, the Santa Fe County District Attorney says she's not ruling out criminal charges in last week's fatal shooting on a film set in New Mexico. In sports, the Braves taking Game 1 of the World Series 6-2 over the Astros. Basketball, the Knicks and Golden State win. And on the ice, the Devils and Sharks lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Netflix is winning streaming's own Squid Game. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Last month, Netflix released a Korean language series featuring no globally recognizable actors and a violently dystopian storyline that was turned down by studios for years because it seemed too grotesque. And yet the enticement of a bizarre plot, mysterious title, and hefty degree of FOMO has fueled Squid Game curiosity around the world, making it Netflix's biggest series ever. The Squid Game phenomenon perfectly demonstrates how Netflix has turned serendipity into a dependable business strategy. It contrasts with the industry's risk-averse fixation on familiar franchises and old reliables. The Netflix model seems to be working. As the company begins to generate cash flow, Standard & Poor's has upgraded its debt to investment grade. That's quite an evolution for a business that once burned so much cash its logo could have been aflame. Plenty of competitor products are now burning money to sign up their own subscribers, while Netflix has already mastered the art of keeping them. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. A coronavirus shot for the youngest school-aged children in the U.S. is on track for a likely approval. A panel of U.S. experts says that the benefits of a vaccine made by Pfizer and BioNTech for young children exceeds its risks. The Food and Drug Administration Vaccines Advisory Committee voted to back the immunization of children from 5 to 11. The FDA is now expected to issue an emergency authorization. The number of consumers likely to buy an electric vehicle more than doubled over the past 2 years. That's according to a survey from Alix Partners. About a fourth of potential consumers globally said they were very likely to make a battery-powered car their next vehicle. The industry has been boosted by falling prices, an increase in driving ranges, and more charging stations. And SpaceX is taming some toilet troubles in its Dragon capsules before launching four more astronauts. The company and NASA want to make sure any toilet leaks won't compromise the capsule launching early Sunday from Kennedy Space Center or another one that's been parked at the International Space Station since April. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Yeah, that's worth looking at. Okay, Karen, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios where it's almost 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Democrats unveiling new tax proposals on corporations and billionaires to pay for President Biden's agenda. The president invoking Trump while campaigning in Virginia, and Biden's G20 challenge convincing allies his promises are legit. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins from the nation's capital this morning. All right, Emily, so what are some of the details on these new tax ideas that are coming from Democrats to get to revenue neutral on the economic agenda?
So we've seen two ideas come from Democrats that are really starting to now be detailed. One of them is a minimum corporate tax rate for U.S. companies. That would be a 15%, and that would apply to companies that report at least $1 billion in profits to shareholders, and it would apply even if the company qualifies for lots of tax breaks. So the idea is that if you're a very big company, if you're a very wealthy company, but you've been able to get out of paying a lot of taxes because of the current deductions and credits on the books, this would at least hold you to a 15% corporate tax rate. And that's expected to raise between $300 billion and $400 billion. That goes a long way to closing that gap that Democrats find themselves with after deciding they're not going to raise the corporate rate. The rest of the way would come from a tax designed for billionaires or those who make over $100 million for three consecutive years. It's a little riskier because we're not sure if this can actually stand up to a potential court challenge. But if it does wind up doing so, it's going to be taxing these wealthy individuals on a number of different things. included gains for publicly traded assets like stocks and bonds, as well as non-tradable assets like real estate. And so those would also be wind up being taxed after they are sold. And Democrats are hoping that with this, they can go to voters and say, hey, we are raising enough revenue for taxes that we can actually pay for this entire spending bill in full.
All right. So there are a few questions here. Are all Democrats on board? Because Kyrsten Sinema, as you know, has been opposed to raising rates on corporations and the wealthy. And does this get Democrats closer to actually voting on legislation?
At this point, the answer to both those questions seem to be yes. Kyrsten Sinema, who was the one big holdout on the corporate tax rate, who said she wouldn't accept any increase in it, has supported both of these plans. And this does get Democrats closer to an agreement on revenue, which is one of their last big outstanding areas that they needed to figure out before they'd be able to say, hey, we do have an agreement on this legislation.
All right. Now, we're getting closer not just to the deadline here for Democrats to get to an agreement, but to an election day. We've got governor's races in New Jersey and Virginia. And it seems like lawmakers from both those states are really tying success on Capitol Hill to their success in these statewide races.
Absolutely, Nathan. You actually saw lawmakers from Virginia and New Jersey meet with Speaker Pelosi yesterday, really emphasize to her how important it was that that infrastructure bill be passed before these November 2nd races. And remember, a lot of lawmakers in these two states, they are from swing districts. Their districts have a lot of Republicans in them, and they need to be appealing to Republicans, too, to win this race. I mean, that's the whole reason why we're all watching Virginia so closely right now, is because it is a swing state, and because the Democrats and the Republican candidates are really neck and neck at this point. So there is a push to get it done, get infrastructure done. However, progressives are saying that that's not very likely to happen before the end of the week. I spoke with a couple of progressives last night, including the leader of the Progressive Caucus, Pramila Jayapal, who said, look, you know, if we get an agreement by the end of the week, that's one thing. But for us to actually go ahead and pass that infrastructure bill, we would need the text of the other social spending and tax plan. And at this point, that's something that still seems to be a while off. Even if they've solved the revenue component, we haven't seen any progress on the climate change front, and there are still questions about items like paid family leave and Medicare expansion.
In our last minute here, Emily, we know President Biden's paying attention to Virginia in particular because he was campaigning in the Commonwealth last night, and a word we kept hearing a lot from both the president and the Democrat running for governor, Trump.
Yes, this is something that if you've been paying any attention to the Virginia gubernatorial race, or even if you've tried to not but still are getting the ads, you've heard Trump mentioned a lot, but it's really just been from Democrats at this point. You know, President Biden mentioned Trump a lot during the rally, but so has the Democratic nominee, Terry McAuliffe, really throughout the campaign. And the idea here is that they really want to divide Republican voters. They're hoping that suburban voters, that some more independent and moderate voters who voted for President Biden in the 2020 election from the state did so because they were turned off by President Trump, and that if they can just tie the Republican nominee to Trump, that gives them a better chance of winning.
All right, Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you as always. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures now down 6 points, Dow futures down 28, NASDAQ futures down 30 points. Bloomberg surveillance is up next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.